Goals galore on night two of this season's UEFA Champions League. Sebastian Haller scored four on his debut in the competition. Liverpool and AC Milan played out a thriller. There were nine goals in Manchester, one very late winner for Real Madrid, and Leo Messi's first European appearance for Paris Saint-Germain ended in a draw. We'll review it all over the next 30 minutes or so, so don't go anywhere. Welcome along, I'm Chris Parrott, and we're going to look back on a breathtaking second night of action in this season's group stage. So many stories to get through. I'm joined by commentators Mark Scott and Richard Kaufman, and we've got the European football expert Andy Brassel here as well. I mean, so many goals, so many storylines, Andy. If I could ask you to pick out just one at the top, what would it be?
Well, I think Richard pegged it before the game. No one believes in Real Madrid to win this competition, and yet they found a way to get it done.
They certainly did. We have a tradition, a three-word match reports in the official Champions League podcast. Mark Scott was watching Liverpool against Milan for us. I mean, this one was an unbelievable game, Mark.
Rampant, relentless Reds. It was a brilliant game, but I think that the summary of it is that Liverpool were back to their live wire best. They suffocated Milan in the first half. They were full of energy and endeavour. They didn't give them a minute to even think when they were in possession. They deservedly won the game. Milan played their part, but Liverpool really looked back to their vintage.
Like that. Richard Kaufman was watching Inter against Real Madrid. Three words for you.
Inter Rodrigo'd again. In reference to the fact that he got the winner against them a year ago in the group stages of the UEFA Champions League. A little harsh on Inter, but as was referenced, Real Madrid, they got the job done. Good start.
Yeah, deja vu again for Inter against Real Madrid. OK, there were eight games on Wednesday, and there were some, frankly, incredible scorelines. In Group A, Club Brugge 1, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Manchester City 6, Leipzig 3. Christopher Nkunku scored a hat-trick and ended up on the losing side. In Group B, Atleti 0, Porto 0. And as you heard from Mark Scott, Liverpool 3, Milan 2. Group C, Besiktas 1, Borussia Dortmund 2. And Sporting 1, Ajax 5, including those four goals for Allaire. And in Group D, Richard mentioned it, Inter 0, Real Madrid 1. And the debutants, Sheriff, beat Shakhtar by 2-0. Just a quick reminder, if you want to hear what happened on Tuesday night in depth, download our special Tuesday review podcast, which is available on all good podcast providers. But we're going to start our look back on Wednesday now at Anfield. Liverpool began their campaign against Milan. They'd not met since the 2007 final. They also, of course, met in the 2005 showpiece in Istanbul. And this one was watched by Mark Scott.
Alexander-Arnold surging through and scoring. It's been coming. Liverpool have the lead. Only 9 minutes played at Anfield. Trent Alexander-Arnold storming through. The finish took a deflection on its way past Minha. Fabinho's forwards here in the area. Back to Robertson, who's gone for goal and flashed it just over the top of the crossbar. He's claiming that there was a handball, and he's got it as well. Shimon Marciniak has pointed to the spot. Salah, hands on hips in the D of the area. That curved run up, and Salah, oh, it's saved! Wonderful block, and the rebound as well. Magnificent from Mignon there. Work through here with a chance, 1-1. Ante Rebic, would you believe it? Milan have been on the back foot for all of the first half, but with a couple of minutes to go until the break, Ante Rebic has rolled it in. Rebic is in again here, chance for 2-1. It is going to be 2-1. I do not believe it. Brahim Diaz from on the goal line has bundled in, and Liverpool, who led, are behind just before the break at Anfield. Here's a chance for Salah, through on goal, 2-2. Ball was floated over the top. He's not celebrating fully. He thinks that there may have been an offside in there. No, Salah is onside. That will stand. He's played on by Calabria. He doesn't need to worry. Midway through the second half at Anfield, all square at 2-2 as Alexander-Arnold's corner isn't the best. Henderson's hit is magnificent, though. On the half volley from the edge of the area, it flew past Mignon. And hear the roar at Anfield. Liverpool back in the lead. Liverpool 3, Milan 2, and it's the skipper who has the goal.
And as you heard from Mark, Anfield in raptures all night long, in truth. Of course, Liverpool knocked out in the quarterfinals last year, and the last 16 the year before. Before that, two straight final appearances. And I don't know about you, Andy Brassel and Mark Scott, but it really felt like a return to 2016, 2017, 2018 at Anfield under Jurgen Klopp. When in that opening 15, 20 minutes, Liverpool were very close to blowing Milan away.
Yes, and it was vintage Liverpool at Anfield, really,
yeah,
wasn't it, Chris?
It was.
That sense that they were just powered on by the crowd, and it was just wave after wave of Liverpool attacks, and Milan were on the floor hanging on by their fingernails, looking for a piece of carpet. They were really, really struggling in that first half hour particularly. And we talked before about how Milan, from rebuilding off the pitch to how they grew under Stefano Pioli last season, they were on top of Serie A for 4 months, and then when they got knocked off, it would have been easy for them to fade against Napoli, Juventus, Atalanta, more experienced teams. They managed to hold on to that Champions League place. That fighting spirit is why they're here in the first place in Group B, taking part in this fantastic Champions League group and taking part in a brilliant occasion like this. So really, that grit, they needed every bit of that to hang on, because Liverpool were irresistible. But I think the way, Mark, that Liverpool won by grinding Milan down in a very different way in the second half was super impressive.
Yeah, it was a contrast, wasn't it, Andy? Because it was up and at them from the word go. They were pressing them incessantly. It was quick forward passing every time they had possession in the opening half an hour or so, and it was a bit more methodical, a bit more incisive, and they were sort of death by a thousand cuts, really, with the way that they kept on trying to penetrate any holes that they could find at the back from Milan. Very, very impressive, and it continues their impressive run at Anfield under Jurgen Klopp. They've only lost one of their 13 group stage games in the UEFA Champions League at Anfield since he took over, winning 10 of them, averaging over 2.5 goals a game as well. So that fortress that they have at Anfield in the UEFA Champions League continues. And also, Mohamed Salah's goal this evening means he's now Liverpool's joint highest scorer in European Cup or UEFA Champions League games at Anfield. 14 now for him, taking him level with Steven Gerrard. Not a bad player to be rubbing shoulders with. And actually, Jordan Henderson's goal had a bit of a Steven Gerrard against Olympiacos about it, didn't it?
It did.
Yes.
Or just Gerrard full stop. Right? I think it was my favourite moment of the night. You know, teammates know each other very, very well. And if we think of technicians, OK, in the European game, Thiago is pretty high, I would imagine. I mean, he's a great player. And his face, when he saw the way that Jordan Henderson connected with it, I don't know if it was surprise or awe or what it was, but it was a great moment when he wasn't acting. He was just like, did Jordan Henderson just catch that ball quite as well? It was an absolute cracker to win it. And we can hear from Andy Robertson now, who was very happy to see out the game.
It's one of them that's probably enjoyable for the neutral. I'm sure the fans in here loved it by the time we got ahead. First half an hour, I thought we blew them away. I thought we were excellent, and then we got a little bit sloppy, stopped doing the stuff that we're doing really well and let them back into the game. And, you know, you walk in at half-time, 2-1 down, thinking, how's this happened? But it was important we forgot about the last 10, 15 minutes of the first half and tried to come out and do what we'd done for the first half hour. And I think we'd done that, managed to get an early goal, which was so important. And then what a strike by Hendo to finish it off, and then it was just a bit seen out the game.
I like that from Andy Robertson. And it must have been slightly strange in the Liverpool dressing room at the break, Mark. They played so well to be 2-1 down. And it's only night one for these two sides, but that was quite a big test of character coming out for the second period.
Yeah, you summed it up perfectly, Chris. It was a bit of a test of character, but it was a test that they passed with flying colours. They didn't really seem to be put out of their stride by the fact that they were hit by those two goals just before the break, which meant that they trailed at half-time, having been completely dominant. We thought it was going to be a game that they ran away with. Andy said in commentary that it could have been a match where if Liverpool had been 4-0 up at half-time, Milan would have just said, yeah, fair enough. That's probably about the right balance on the score sheet from what we've seen on the pitch so far. But it didn't jolt them at all. They got on with business and they got the job done. I think it was very impressive, the mindset that they had.
Certainly was. And Liverpool on 3 points then after one match in Group B. Elsewhere in this section, a really tight game. We thought it might be between Atletico and Porto. Porto perhaps will feel they maybe did enough to win the game, even though they got Chancellor Mbemba sent off very late on. They hit the post and Mehdi Taremi had a goal disallowed correctly for handball 10 minutes from time. Andy Brassel, I know you were glancing up at this game. It was a real battle, wasn't it, at the Metropolitano, and both teams, I think, will have some bumps and bruises after this.
That's it, Chris, and I think we have this idea of Atletico as incredibly attritional and difficult to deal with. Porto have got a reputation for that over the last couple of years as well under Sergio Conceição. They're a team that's a lot physically stronger, tougher than most Portuguese sides, and they will dig in and fight with anyone. You look at how they took Juventus all the way to 120 minutes in the second leg of that last 16 game last year. They are not for turning, even against the elite sides in Europe. So a great result for them, and makes the group super interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think, Mark, you mentioned in your commentary about what Jurgen Klopp had said about this section, you know, which makes Liverpool's narrow win against Milan seem all the more important. But Liverpool, AC Milan, Atletico and Porto, not one of these games is going to be simple for any one of the clubs, is it?
No, Klopp said that the quality of the teams in the group means it makes it harder than ever to reach the knockout stages of the competition. He actually said it's the strongest group that they've ever had since he's been at Liverpool. The only one that comes close to it was when he was in charge of Borussia Dortmund, when they were paired with Manchester City, Real Madrid and Ajax. And he said that was also what he's calling a proper group. He says it's going to mean that two really good teams don't make the knockout stage, and one strong team is going to end up in the Europa League as well. So he says it's going to be exciting from the first second to the last second, this section, and he's been proved right tonight.
He certainly has. So Group B looks good. Group D next, talking about another difficult section. Inter met Real Madrid at San Siro, and this one was watched by Richard Kaufman.
Skriniar down the right-hand side for Inter. Good ball to Martinez. Straight to Dzeko. Great save that by Courtois with his feet. Danger's not clear yet. And then the shot comes in from Brozovic and it's deflected wide. And some space out wide here for Perisic to exploit. Dzeko makes his way to there. Martinez, point-blank header. Saved excellently by the goalkeeper Thibaut Courtois. Vasquez wins it back. Valverde now right-hand side. That's a decent cross. Benzema couldn't get it goalwards. And the goal really seemed to be gaping, from a tight angle. Chalanolic will take it right-footed. Out swinger. Dzeko with the header, save! And Skriniar on the follow-up couldn't turn it in. Martinez turns it back. Back it comes for Skriniar. Again, he's blocked. He's still got it, Skriniar. Blocked out by three players now from Real Madrid, and somehow they don't find a way through. And now Rodrigo can use his pace here. There's 3-4 forward here. Benzema, can he tee it up for Vinicius? He can. Vinicius! Brilliant block by Skriniar. Excellent play from the Slovakian centre-half. Camavinga plays it first time to Valverde. Valverde back towards Camavinga. Cushions the pass in, and Junior! Rodrigo sweeps it in, and it's gone all quiet in the San Siro. Carlo Ancelotti celebrates on the sidelines, and it's that same old feeling again for Inter against Real Madrid. Inter Milan 0, Real Madrid 1.
Yeah, Inter without a point after this game, and Thibaut Courtois, as you heard there from Richard's commentary, was excellent, was decisive, and Richard joins myself, Chris Parrott, now. So, you kind of summed up perfectly in that winning commentary, didn't you? It's a different season. It's the same old story for Inter when it comes to match day one and Real Madrid and not being able to quite get something from a game it sounds like they deserve to get something from.
They certainly did, yeah. I mean, listen, ruthless in the end, and there's plenty to talk about in terms of that winner for Real Madrid. But what preceded it, particularly in the first half, was wave after wave of Inter Milan attack. Thibaut Courtois, as you heard there, with 2, 3, maybe even 4 crucial saves. There were other opportunities as well that went narrowly wide of the mark as well from Inter 2. They played really nicely. Second half,
To be fair, it was a little more even. It got end-to-end at times. The chances weren't quite coming as thick and fast as they did in that first 45. But again, there were opportunities for Inter. And then as the clock ticked away, we got to the 89th minute. Eduardo Camavinga, who, if you've not heard of him, 18 years of age, made his debut as a sub against Celta Vigo at the weekend, scored 6 minutes after coming on as a sub. But he took a little longer tonight to make his mark, because 10 minutes after coming on, as you heard in the build-up to that goal, he was very influential, passed it to Valverde. And then on the volley, he played a lovely ball, which kind of looped over the defenders into the path of Rodrigo. It wasn't a simple finish for the Brazilian, but he managed to knock it in on the six-yard box, on the volley, left-footed pass Handanovic, for a winner for Real Madrid that seemed really unlikely for long parts of that game. But who cares about, you know, who dominated possession, who had the better chances? Real Madrid get the 3 points.
And really, it's an incredible start to his Bernabeu career for Eduardo Camavinga. Only 18 years old, of course. Came on as substitute against Celta on Sunday. Scored within 6 minutes of his debut after following in from that Luka Modric shot that was saved. And we've known he's a great player, or a potential great player, for a while now. 16 years old, and he was a holding midfielder, holding his own against Paris Saint-Germain. And last season, he found it really difficult, though, in the UEFA Champions League, with Rennes being a team that were inexperienced at this level. And I think it's a huge compliment to Carlo Ancelotti, who we expect, when we look back over his coaching career, as someone who keeps the younger players going, that he's getting so much out of Camavinga, Rodrigo and Vinicius Junior now.
Yeah, great start for Real Madrid then. 1-0 winners away at Inter. In Group D, in one of the early games, we had a bit of history. It was going to be a groundbreaking night anyway, because Sheriff were making their group stage debut and they beat Shakhtar in Tiraspol by 2-0. Adama Traore with an excellent left-footed volley before the break, and then Momo Yansani with an excellent header in the second half. A 2-0 victory. And Andy, for this club from Moldova, who I think have won 17 of the last 19 domestic titles, and who started their Champions League journey on the 7th of July in the first qualifying round, to get to the group stage, enormous achievement, then to win a game on night one in the group stage. I mean, that is one of the stories of the evening.
Yes, it's an extraordinary effort, Chris, especially on a UEFA Champions League debut, and especially when you look at the experience of Shakhtar Donetsk in UEFA club competition. But, you know, we saw it last night with young boys. Teams can come from the qualifying rounds and do something special. We were talking earlier, weren't we, reminiscing over Ajax and their run to the semi-final in 2019. They started in the second qualifying round that year, so it can be done.
Certainly can. And just to put that into context, the 7th of July, by the way, when Sheriff began their qualifying campaign, was the same day as one of the Euro 2020 semi-finals, when Jude Bellingham was preparing to play or be part of that squad for England in that game. On Wednesday, he was unbelievably good, as Borussia Dortmund beat Besiktas away from home in another of the early kickoffs. Kevin Hatchard and Dan Roebuck watch this one for Match Day Live.
Bashuai inside the area, what a save! Gregor Kobel somehow denying Bashuai. Meunier comes forward on the right-hand side, first time ball inside the penalty area. What a strike that is! Terrific here from Bellingham from a tight angle, and Borussia Dortmund have the advantage. Two inside the box waiting for the fullback. Royce is one of them. Really good start by Destarolu. Dortmund so close to a second. Terrific build-up play. Guerrero with the throw. Bellingham inside the area. He's in once again here. Pulls it back. Well, Borussia Dortmund have got another. And Haaland, having missed a couple of presentable opportunities earlier on in this first half, does not miss this one. And last year's UEFA Champions League top goal scorer is off the mark in the 21-22 campaign. This is Haaland. He's got options left and right. Looks to try and play it through. Bellingham will take a touch and still going forwards here. Terrific stop by Destanolu. Meanwhile, Bashuai is racing forward here. Big chance for Besiktas. Oh, my word. Kobel comes out and makes the stop, but Bashuai makes it easy for him. For the cheeks and a deep breath of Pjanic to try and cause the nerves to jangle for Dortmund. And it comes, and the header into the corner, brilliantly placed by Montero. And Besiktas have got a goal back, and we do have 3.5 minutes remaining of added on time. And this game perhaps is not over yet. The full-time whistle has
has gone here. It's Dortmund that finish with a 2-1 success and the 3 points.
It's never straightforward with Borussia Dortmund, and they did hold on after that very late header from Montero. As you heard, Erling Haaland, one of the goal scorers, of course. 21 Champions League goals in just 17 appearances, and he was happy with the win in difficult conditions.
Yeah, it was a really hard game. Important win, but it was really hard. I'm tired now. The pitch was not good, but we cannot complain on anything. We fight and we did good, so I'm happy for the win.
Haaland scoring again, Andy Brassel. I mean, it's getting a bit ridiculous, isn't it? This is a guy who you know, every Champions League season just seems to gobble up the chances.
Well, there might be people out there who don't have him in their UEFA Champions
Not me.
League fantasy team, but I don't think there's anyone in this panel that falls into that small category. Look, he's a banker, he's a sure thing at the moment. But what I really liked about Dortmund this evening was, of course, Jude Bellingham and his performance, but also the click between Daniel Malen and Haaland. Mm. I think that showed a lot of promise. Now, there's been questioning in Germany, a lot of questioning of Marco Rosa, the coach, and was 4-4-2 the way to give Dortmund defensive stability? Well, they look a bit short on that at the moment, but in the attacking half of the field, that midfield diamond and Haaland plus one seems to be working pretty well.
You mentioned Bellingham there. He was the official UEFA player of the match presented by PlayStation. Goal and an assist, and the teenager was very pleased with the result.
It's a hostile place to come, but that's where you want to play football, you know. You want to test yourself in these environments and against such good players. And, yeah, decent little finish. Just got into the right area, and the pass from Meunier was perfect. So, to be honest, I think that all goes to him, really. I just made the run. He got the ball to me, and I put it away.
Bellingham oozed class all evening long. He even shushed the vociferous home support. And this is a teenager who only turned 18 a couple of months ago. What a gem Borussia Dortmund have. So they won 2-1 away at Besiktas. Elsewhere in Group C, one of the results of the evening, definitely one of the individual performances perhaps ever in the group stage. And I say that, Andy, knowing what we've seen over the years, but Sporting were beaten at home by Ajax by 5-1, and Sebastian Allaire, on his debut in the Champions League, scored 4 goals. I mean, that is some effort.
Yes, and after he missed out because of an administrative error,
yes,
on making a UEFA club competition debut for Ajax last season, it's fantastic for him. But with Allaire, the goals don't really describe the all-round contribution and the fit that he's provided at the centre-forward position at Ajax. But tonight, it was about the goals. Absolutely ruthless in front of goal. He's really deserved it. I think he's made a huge difference to them. And we know that part of where Ajax have been so formidable in the current era is just they're absolutely terrific on the road. That's how they built that run to the final on 2019. And now they've just got to try and replicate that in Amsterdam when they get back there.
Yeah, Steven Berghaus got his first goal for the club after his summer move from Ajax's big rivals final. One of the assists from Anthony, by the way, for one of Allaire's goals was a beautiful, gorgeous outside of the boot pass. And Allaire, only the second player to score 4 goals on his UEFA Champions League debut, the first since Marco van Basten, one of the greatest strikers ever, who did it for Milan against Göteborg in 1992. Some company for Allaire to keep. So Sporting thumped at home by Ajax. Next we can go to Group A, where Paris Saint-Germain, despite fielding Leo Messi, despite fielding Kylian Mbappe, who was forced off through injury, and despite fielding Neymar up front, could only grab a point away to Club Brugge, partly because of an excellent performance from Charles de Ketelaere, who was very proud of the way the Belgian champions played.
For sure, we're super happy, and you know, with the fans here, we can always do something extra. And yeah, everybody was talking about PSG, about it wouldn't be possible for us, but everybody did the job and made the best of it, and we make a result. So it's I'm super proud of the team and of everybody.
Saw Noah Lang at the full-time whistle, who was named UEFA's Player of the Match, Andy, dancing with the rest of the Club Brugge players in front of the supporters. Only a point, but you could sense they felt it was almost like a victory.
Yes, and I think the reaction in England, particularly to this draw, that was that Manchester City had a difficult draw because of Paris Saint-Germain and Leipzig. But I feel people have forgotten about Club Brugge.
Yeah.
A team that have won comfortably in the last couple of years in Belgium. More importantly, in this context, have shown real bravery and guts when taking on the very best in the UEFA Champions League. You know, remember them getting a result at the Bernabeu in recent
Absolutely.
Memory, a game that they should have won as well. They're always front foot. And we talked about it with Sheriff, we talked about it with Young Boys. There are no minnows in this competition anymore. The smaller teams, in inverted commas, are not scared of the biggest ones.
They could have won that game against Paris Saint-Germain at the Jan Breydel Stadion as well. Elsewhere in Group A, you mentioned the two teams. I mean, this, Mark Scott, this was a crazy game. Manchester City 6, RB Leipzig 3. Like peak Pep Guardiola football. And Jack Grealish on his Champions League debut, proving just what a good player he is.
Yeah, the highest scoring UEFA Champions League match of Pep Guardiola's managerial career.
Was it really?
137th game in the tournament, and that one is at the top of the charts. Yeah, Jack Grealish said he absolutely loved it. He's been waiting a while. The music and everything before the game really got him up for it. And he actually said he went to check the result from that other game between Bruges and Paris afterwards, and says it shows anything can happen in the UEFA Champions League. A word, though, for Leipzig's Christopher Nkunku,
yes,
who was actually UEFA as player of the match, and you know, he got a well-taken hat-trick away from home in the UEFA Champions League against Manchester City, but he's lost.
Yeah, the fourth player apparently to score a Champions League hat-trick and be on the losing side. In pretty good company, Erfan Kavechi, the Brazilian Ronaldo, and Gareth Bale. So, Andy, I mean, a great night for him, but ultimately Leipzig blown away, really.
Yes, and Manchester City do have so many incredible options, and they really made the most of those as the game went on.
They certainly did. Mark mentioned Jack Grealish. Let's hear from him now. A dream Champions League debut.
Been waiting a while, and you know, the past few days, past few weeks, I just couldn't wait for this game, obviously, in particular. And it was a great night. You know, it had absolutely everything. Obviously, you know, in the end, we're obviously delighted to get the win, obviously. Against a good team as well, you know, full of energy, full of young players and stuff. So, I'm delighted personally, you know, to come away, obviously, mainly with the 3 points, but also a goal and an assist.
There are some players who just fit seamlessly into Champions League football, and I wonder whether Jack Grealish may well do that. Manchester City hitting 6 in a 6-3 win against Leipzig. Let's head back to the match at Anfield, which was an extraordinary game, and we can hear now from Liverpool's match winner, Jordan Henderson.
I thought it was a really good game. You know, I think for the fans it was a roller coaster, I'm sure, but overall I thought performance level was really good. You know, I think there was a spell within the game that we could be better when they scored the two goals, and we had a 10-15 minute spell that wasn't so good, but the rest was very good, and we reacted really well after half time, come back out, managed to find a couple of goals and get the win. So delighted with the overall performance, delighted with the reaction, but we need to make sure we learn from our mistakes and learn from that period within the game.
Saw Jordan Henderson sitting down for his press conference. He had a massive grin on his face. I'm not surprised. So did Jurgen Klopp, who very much enjoyed the fans being back at Anfield.
It was a spectacular game, to be honest. It's, of course, AC Milan. This is the team who joins that group from pot four. That's really funny. So you see how strong this group is. And yeah, we did it, and I think it's deserved. And we played a good game. We made some changes that worked out really well. So I'm happy.
3-2 then, it finished to Liverpool. Gents, I want your moment of the evening, please. Who should we start with? We'll start with you, actually, Richard Kaufman. Your moment of Wednesday, of match day one.
It's the pass from Camavinga into the path of Rodrigo, 18 years of age. So much talent, so much to look forward to in his career, and a lovely way to get his UEFA Champions League first appearance for Real Madrid underway, yeah, with an assist.
There is something very exciting, isn't there, when someone who's been bigged up as arrived for a considerable fee just oozes class on their Champions League bow. Andy Brassel, your moment of the evening, please.
Well, it may have led to an own goal, but I'm going to go for the burst from Trent Alexander-Arnold for that first goal that opened the floodgates for Liverpool. They couldn't deal with him at all first half, Milan. And I think a certain other right-back of Milan vintage, Cafu, have seen a bit of himself in that.
I'm going to go with the winning goal, not just because it was the winning goal, but the quality of the strike from Jordan Henderson. I've said it before, it reminded me of Steven Gerrard's famous strike against Olympiacos, another big goal for Liverpool on a UEFA Champions League night. He took it brilliantly and it led to a packed Anfield roaring their heads off. So Jordan Henderson's winner for me.
Certainly did. Cannot argue with that. Jordan Henderson, the match winner, the Liverpool captain, and the Reds are off and running in this season's UEFA Champions League. Thank you very much, gents, for your time, for your commentary and for all of your insight. That is just about all we've got time for tonight. What a great match day one it's been. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST throughout the group stage for live commentary on Champions League games. We're back on Tuesday, the 28th of September. The small matter of Paris Saint-Germain against Manchester City, Guardiola against Messi. But for now, from me, Chris Parrott, and the rest of the Matchday Live team, it is goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.